Yeah, we got you.
Log Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Song Guy Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. Some show notes before we kick things off today. If you're looking for wrestling tonight, WCWO running in Indianapolis, Indiana, as usual. Pro Wrestling Freedom in Jeffersonville, Indiana at the arena. PWA in Cheshire, Connecticut. NSCW in Hardin, Kentucky. Still Domain Wrestling in Lakeville, Minnesota. Paragon Pro Wrestling in Las Vegas, Nevada, and APW in Royston, Georgia. Tomorrow night, EPWA in Kaiser, West Virginia, featuring Casey Carlisle in her first ever steel cage match. MSWA in Rockwood, Tennessee. APW in Athens, Alabama. NEW in Golden, Colorado. APW in Berwyn, Illinois. PWA in Decatur, Illinois. ARW in Lake Station, Indiana, IWX in Memphis, Indiana, NGW in Crawfordsville, Indiana, VOW in Morgantown, West Virginia, APW in Boiling Springs, South Carolina, MMWA in St. Louis, Missouri, CZW in Dayton, Ohio, APW in Ottawa, Ontario, GSW in Moosic, Pennsylvania, and the NWA tomorrow night in Amarillo, Texas. Without further ado, I am very happy to welcome to our show Moondog Fifi. Moondog Fifi, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a while since I've done much with wrestling except getting to go to Texas for the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame in Vegas. Those were two wonderful, wonderful reunions. A lot of good stuff.
Well, traditionally on our show, our first question to the guests, and I will ask this for you, what led to you getting involved in the business of professional wrestling?
Well, it started very, very young. My dad was a veteran in the Korean War, and he came back. I was, I guess, 7 or 8, and he developed bladder cancer. So he and my great grandmother and I would sit in the living room, you know, because he battled this for over a year. And this is back in the 70s. So, of course, you know, they didn't have, you know, they didn't have the facilities they do now, which is was a shame. So we would watch wrestling, and he would holler and scream, and it would make my mom real upset because, you know, he's getting upset. And then my brothers became, well, I should have led to the end of the story. He passed away within a year, and I was 10 years old. So, and I always had said to him, Daddy, I'm going to be a wrestler one day. And he said, do what you want, but just be careful. So my brothers became high school wrestlers, and I was their guinea pig. I was a cheerleader, and, of course, you know, doing the splits and all that kind of stuff. You know, they would practice on me. So you can imagine what that's like with two brothers, 16. One was in the 167 range, and I was about 100. I don't think I've weighed that since then, probably. And my other brother was 132 weight class. So, like I said, I was their guinea pig, and They also had it that back in that day called the Wrestlerettes, which we were the cheerleaders, but we also got to practice. But they never would let us, you know, go up against a guy. Now today, of course, in the, well, I say pro, not so pro, men die to have women wrestle them. But I just didn't, that was never really, I guess, Lula training me. I really wasn't into wrestling men unless I was in a ring setting. I didn't believe in going into a hotel room and, you know, to each their own, but that was something that I just did not get into at all. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
You brought up being trained by the fabulous Moolah. She's trained a large number of women wrestlers that went on to pretty successful careers. When you broke in, there wasn't as many choices for being trained as there are now for the women wrestlers. Was she one of your only options at that time, or did you know of anyone else that was willing to train?
I was training in Georgetown, Kentucky under Dale Mann. I mean, there was four girls there, so they were helping me, and God love them, two of them have passed away. And one wrestler is under name Blue. Because her daughter's on Facebook, and she hit me up, and she's like, "My mom used to wrestle with you," and I was like, "Oh my gosh," you know. And the other girl, since this happens in the business, I can see their faces, but since I've been sick, you know, the names just don't come. So I apologize to whoever I mispronounce, or, you know, I see you, but I just can't. The name won't come, so bear with me, if you will. But no, I wrestled there, and then I actually wrote Moolah a letter and told her that I wanted to train to come. And I actually, I don't know if you're familiar with busing or segregation here in Kentucky. I don't know where you are, but my junior and senior year, they were going to bus me downtown. And actually, I went to school where Muhammad Ali did. Central High School, and I've got some pictures of him, and I've got a jacket from 1963. I'm not that old, let's put it that way, but family was with him in that era, and so I still have the picture and the jacket, and I went there for a while, but the busing got so bad. My mom was a school teacher, so we ended up moving across the bridge in Jeffersonville, Indiana. I heard you say there was a show tonight there. Is it all girl show or is it guy shows? I was wondering.
That one's a mix of both.
Oh, is it? No, I was wondering because I might slip in over there. That's why I was asking you. Because that's about 10, 15 minutes from my place. So, but, you know, what's funny, they still want to make you pay to get in. I said, well, after all these years, I thought I would be able to at least get in and, you know, say hi to the people behind the scenes. But they still, I guess, playing the mark card, I don't know. So, anyway, back to wrestling. Moolah, I wrote her a letter and I went there. And I started training in 1980. I was training with a lot of the girls. There's a picture of me with a lot of girls on my Facebook. Several have passed, like Betty Clark. In her picture, she has a tooth knocked out. She was over in Japan. And one thing about Japan, you don't mess with. The girls start at 14 and they stop by the time they're 22 because they're so beat up. But you don't mess with the girls, if you know what I mean. And there's another picture of Janice Morris. She was an Indian girl, and she passed away since then, too. So I was on the road. My first matches was on the road with Moolah and myself and two other green girls. And she hands me this big cape with the boots, and my family's from Germany. I have a swastika on my back. And, I mean, people are like, you know, you go different places with the Jewish swastika, you're not so welcome. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I can imagine.
And my first matches was with her in Charlotte, North Carolina, Roanoke, Virginia. But, see, I did a lot of the house shows. So that's why, like, when you see Velvet and Princess Victoria and Leilani and Judy and all them, that's because they had been there longer. So that's when WWF brought in the girls. And I was just training. So after the match with her, I went straight to Japan. So I was over there twice and won the tag belts with Leilani. But there's no pictures. I'm like, it's weird. You know, my last night there, I mean, I had the belt against Yoga Tsurimi, and I don't know how far back you follow this or anything, but I got into a fight with the Japanese mafia because they had bet on me, on her, I'm sorry. And I beat her, and the guy came out, and I came out from the ring, and it was a 30-minute match. So, you know, I was pretty tired, and he just smacked me. Well, I smacked him back. You know, I had no idea. I'm 19 years old thinking, you know, what are you thinking at 19? You know, first I get there and I'm on the wrong side of the road. I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to die. The guy doesn't speak English. I was late getting there. Leilani had went on over because I had some issues with Mula about some money, as you can imagine. And she also thought that Leilani had said something to me, which I told her, I said, Leilani hadn't done anything, it's you. And, of course, you know, my mother, there wasn't cell phones back then. I drove all the way home. My mother told her off. So not many mamas tell Mula off, but when it comes to your daughters, no matter how mad you are at them for taking whatever road or life they lead, you still protect. And she told her, I called her. I was broke, didn't have any money. I mean, and we wrestled every night, and she put us up in the biggest hotels. And when you get back and you worked 8 or 9 nights in a row, and she charged you 25 cents a mile, at that time was good, okay? Because we're talking about back in the 80s. She does not owe her money. And I've already paid her to train. So let's just put it this way. I packed my stuff and I went home, and that's why I was later than Leilani. And, you know, she jumped on her and, you know, what did you do, Diane? And, I mean, I had it out with her, and, you know, she said, you're under contract, and this, that, and the other. And I said, I don't really care. So finally, after about 3 days, she begged me to go. So I went on over there, and like I said, I'm green as heck, and I get to the arena, and I guess it's, you know, intermission. Well, the girls, have you ever watched Japanese matches?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you see how the girls get out there and entertain, and they dance, and they sing, and Mimi Haguire was their, you know, main draw, of course, because she's very pretty, and she could sing and dance and all that. I walk up, and I'm like, where's the matches? You know, I was just lost. And then Leilani came out and, you know, hugged me. And I said, where are we? She said, these are the matches. I said, what are they doing up there singing and dancing? She said, you'll learn. I said, oh, my God. So the first night over there, we were the main event. So if you can only imagine, I didn't know their customs, their style, anything. And that's, it's just a learning lesson. That's all I can tell you. And now I hear that the girls are actually paying to go over there. And I think that's the worst thing in the world that they could do. It's like anything else. If somebody wants you that bad, pay you to come over there. But I also heard it's just like here, there's, you know, 15 or 20 indie companies. So it's killed wrestling over there because it was just we had All Japan Women, and then, you know, the two men territories, the New Japan and All Japan, and that was it. So now you've got, what, I don't even have a clue, I'll be honest with you, how many territories there are with women. But when I hear that they're paying their own way over there, all I can tell these young ladies is, you know, if you want the experience, there's enough women here that would train you versus paying $6,000 maybe round trip. I can't remember. I know it was expensive back then. I don't know now, to train you. And, you know, they still take the crazy bumps. There's no storytelling. They just, the crazier and the higher you fly, the more they want. And that's what's wrong with the territories today, is there's no storytelling. You don't have to take bumps. You work smart, not hard. And you can't get anybody to understand. They all want to get it in. They want to get every bump in. Why? You've got to listen to the crowd. You have to listen to what they're wanting. And these people, not all, there's very, very good trainers. I was just with Leilani Kai. You know, she got inducted in Texas, and her and her friend Steve, you know, they trained down in Florida. So if you want to go anywhere, I would go with them. Why go to Japan and pay? Because you're lucky if you get paid. I mean, it's no different than here. If you get paid, you're lucky. So that's, you know, we came back after we wrestled 58 nights out of 60. And then we went to Hawaii, and I met, you know, The Rock's mom. I worked for them. And Chief Mavia and Ata, is, you know, his daughter, The Rock's mom, you know, he was also inducted this year in Texas. So, and I met her, and, you know, there's always that story that even they had a sideshow. Rock, I guess, was on set with that new movie coming out, and he said, if my grandfather owes anybody, you know, I mean, that's the big rib, but she was so mad. She said, when I get home, I'm going to whip you. Because she was pretty, you know, that's the heat joke of the century, is if his grandfather or they owe you any money, that's the joke. So that's where she kept begging me to come back to the camp, and I just didn't want, at that time, I didn't want to go back. You know, she kept begging me, are you going to come back? Are you going to come back? I told her yes, but I didn't. I came home, and, you know, I was going to hair school before, and I went back to hair school, and some events led to that's what I'm saying. They're talking about big names. Well, I guess I worked smart and not hard because I stayed overseas where money wasn't as taxable. I went to a lot of places overseas that and worked with a lot of good girls. So that's why when they talk about WWF, I was there several times, but I wasn't on the TV, and that's why.
Now, a few years into your career, they brought you into Memphis as one of the Moondogs, and the Moondogs had been an established team for several years in a few different promotions at that point in time. Who contacted you about becoming part of the Moondogs, and was that something that was exciting to you when you did get the call?
Well, actually, what's ironic, if you remember me telling you a few months ago, or maybe I didn't tell you, I told you I had no money, and Lula was wanting me to drop weight. Well, she was starving me, and they would eat in front of me, and, you know, or she'd send me back to the room not to eat. So, actually, I guess how, you know, they said karma comes full circle. Larry Latham, and one of the Japanese guys, as I said, I don't remember his name. I was in Japan and saw him over there, but, you know, give me, you know, I just don't remember his name off the top of my head. But Larry actually brought me food into the room. And so I guess, first of all, before actually, which maybe you all don't know, before I worked, I had worked for Memphis before. They had me under Phyllis Cassidy. I wrestled in Louisville Gardens. I wrestled back in the 80s. I wrestled for them in Nashville as, you know, under Diane Von Hoffman. So, you know, they used me under different names. And I don't know if you've ever looked this up or anybody else, but I also wrestled with Handsome Jimmy Valiant. They had me as Flea. And a guy from Texas had come in, and once again, I can see him right now. He came in, and we did an angle for a weekend, and him and, of course, Jerry Lawler got into it with him, and we did TV that day. They didn't show it the next night. So I was Flea for a day. So go figure. I'm at home. I get a call from Larry Latham, and he says, you know, we want a big girl with a little name. And I said, well, you know, I fit that to a T. And so they brought me in as Moondog Fifi. So he is the one that brought me in and also fed me in New York. So if that's not coming full circle, I don't know what is. And
absolutely.
Yes, I was very excited to get the call, you know, and especially from him, because he knew I could work. And, you know, there was a huge angle with, you know, Jacqueline that just got inducted in the WWE. So, and I saw in there that, you know, that she had this big record. But the only, if you look at who she's beaten, none of the other girls were wrestlers. Jerry Lawler brought in everybody that was just TNA. And I was the only female wrestler. So if you look up Memphis Wrestling, I'm the only wrestler that she wrestled, and I beat her for the belt more than once. But guess what? There was no belt. Guess what they used? If you watched it back in the day, I'm sure you're probably not what? You're probably too young to have watched it or seen the TV on it.
Oh, actually, I did watch back then, but why don't you tell the listeners what it was? Because I don't know if they believe me.
Well, it was actually a sash, like a beauty queen sash they put around us, around her, you know, because, of course, you know, she was, you know, pretty muscled up and everything. So when I won the belt, Richard Lee was my manager. He put it around my neck and made it my dog collar. So that's how I end up with a belt.
I do remember that. And at the time they were doing that, was that just like,
that
was that just
92, 93, 94. We were at about 3 years.
Yeah, right in the early 90s, I remember seeing that. I was a belt something that was ever discussed, or did they want the sash just because of the
we're talking about Jerry
to turn gimmicks with it?
You know, I hate to say it. When you talk about money, if you can't get paid, how are you going to get a belt? I mean, there was no money, no belt. And that was the worst paying territory alive. I mean, you'd make a loop. And I got my first check, and I actually called Jerry Jarrett at home. I went off. I said, are you kidding me? He's paying me $40 a night. Now, mind you, okay, I also had to work a shoot job during the day, come home, get ready, make all these towns, come back home. I had two daughters that were, oh, my gosh, 94. So we're 6 and 8 at the time. No, 4 and 8, I'm sorry. And they, I told him, I said, how about we switch paychecks? How about you take mine and I'll take yours and let's see who lives on what better. And he, I mean, and Buddy Landell, God rest his soul, and I actually got into it with him on Facebook a few years back. And we shut him down because he was talking about how great it was to be in Florida and this, that, and the other. And we're like, yeah, you know, you took all of our money, you know, the night that they cut my hair in Memphis. It was sold out. It hadn't been sold out. I'm not saying because of me, but it was just, you know.
They do love hair matches in Memphis. That sells out all the time.
I mean,
especially
it used to
that
sell
area.
Out, but then it died. It died for a while. I mean, it really, you know, I don't know. I mean, some of the places you can look back and it tells you what the actual, you know, what the actual count of people was. But the Moondogs, I mean, they always drew. I mean, we would be, of course, I always called it BFE. And, you know, the craziness that we had was above. You're always talking about the ECW. I said, and I always disputed that we were before the ECW ever came along. We fought harder and stronger, and I'm in there with the best of the best guys, you know, taking bumps from these guys. I mean, you know, Jeff Jarrett hated women, still does, just like I just saw Greg Valentine, and of course, you know, he talked to Wendy Richter and them. He considers some of us the boys. But he said that we were nothing but, you know, we just took a spot on the show and that we should be home cooking and having babies. So it was just, you know, we worked as hard, and that's one reason they got rid of Wendy. I guess you know that in the WWE, because she was just fighting for the same pay. And that's all, you know, we should get the same pay. If I'm taking the same bump as a guy, then why shouldn't I get the same pay? And especially when I first came in and then they cut my hair, and that was a shoot. It was not supposed to have been cut like that at all. Richard Lee and Jackie had their hair cut, but mine was not supposed to be. And that's actually on YouTube. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yes.
I've got several. See, nobody's seen. I've got a bunch of CDs I don't know how to put onto YouTube from all the matches with Eric Embry and Jackie and me and Richard Lee. And then there's one on there with Miss Texas Rodeo, Tasha Simone. And, you know, I mean, we took the bumps, so why shouldn't we get paid the same amount? And so why not fight for that money? I mean, it's just like on your regular job. You know, most women get paid, most, I'll say, get paid the same as men. It just depends. But if you have any questions for me, I just, you know, it's been so far back, and I apologize where I got sick. My memory is not what it used to be. So if you have anything you want to ask me, I'd be glad to answer.
Oh, well, we appreciate that. And I believe my co-host QT might have a few questions for you too. So QT, you have some questions for Moondog Fifi?
Yes, sign guy, I do. Hello, Fifi.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing very well. I spent quite a bit of time looking at your videos on YouTube and also your personal profile. Fifi?
Yeah, I actually got a Wikipedia, finally, after 30 years. That's a rib.
Oh, yeah, Wikipedia. Yeah, you got to fight them tooth and nail. Yes.
Well, someone else did it because I was like, I'm not going through all this. If somebody doesn't know who I am, I'm not wasting my time.
Oh, wow.
Not that I'm all that. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying. I wasn't spending the time to do it. Because, first of all, I didn't know what to do or how to do it. But but just to give a friend of mine props, his name's Corey Brown with one of the promotions now. He's helping me to get, you know, my name out there and, you know, trying to do more things and get more, you know, podcasts and stuff like that going, because he thinks I deserve whatever I deserve, but it's Brown Butter Wrestling, and he's out of San Francisco, and he's a wonderful guy. But, you know, he thinks I'm deserving, and I'm like, look, they just inducted Leilani Kai, you know. I'm nobody compared to her. But
well,
I didn't mean to cut you off, so go ahead.
Oh, that's quite okay. Now, speaking about getting your name out there, have you thought about setting up your own podcast show someday where you interview wrestlers?
I guess I could, but, okay, right here I'm in Louisville, Kentucky, okay? And you know that's the heart of the old Louisville Gardens. So, God love it. We got Kenny Bowen here, Jim Cornette. You know, they're all doing a big podcast now with Russo and those guys. So, I really, you know, I'm kind of lost in that area as to, you know, I know a lot of the girls would, you know, talk to me, but, you know, I'm not really involved with wrestling that much because of my injuries. I mean, I was 8 hours from death. So, you know, now, I mean, everybody says, oh, you look great, but, you know, they don't know what's behind closed doors, you know, cuts and, you know, when you're 8 hours from death, you're in several surgeries. I would love to do it, but I just don't know. That's what I'm saying. I didn't even get a Wikipedia. Corey helped me get it. So what does it tell you about doing a podcast? I'd love to, but I don't know. And there's a lot of girls I could interview that would pick up the phone in a heartbeat.
Well, do you think one of them okay, well, that sounds good. Do you have any ideas if you did start a podcast, what you would name it? Would it be, would one of your choices be the Moondog Hour?
The Moondog Hour or You're Gonna Meet Your Maker Tonight.
Wow, all right. Okay. Very good.
Because that was one. If you look at, if you listen, I actually have the CD and the only record Richard Lee, my manager, has, and that's our song when we went out to the ring was "You're Gonna Meet Your Maker Tonight." So we could put Moondog's Hour or "You're Gonna Meet Your Maker."
Wow.
Or we
okay.
could, you know, you could put it together. You know, something like "If You Don't Talk to Me, You're Gonna Meet Your Maker." I have no problem with that still. I can still throw a good right forearm, but I have my left shoulder replaced. That's why I say that.
On Sunday, September 14th, 2014, you were inducted into the Georgetown, Kentucky Wrestling Hall of Fame. Do you remember some of the wrestlers that were also inducted that day?
Yeah. The one of the couple is Chris Harris. I think he worked with James Storms and them from TNA. Patty Powell. See, I actually had the first match with her, so see, she would be one that would be good to bring in like that. They actually at the end surprised Felony Fox and they inducted her. Inducted Danny Fargo, you know, another one. Every time I hate to hear of any more that are dying, but, you know, he's passed several years back. Jim Chadwick, he was like the manager and all that. And trying to think who else. There's a couple other, but honestly, as I said, you'll have to forgive me. Like 6 days after that, I had my shoulder replaced. So, or my whole, you know, whatever. I'm bionic. My left side of me is bionic, and my right side said, give up.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, but yeah, that was a great, great night. And I appreciate them doing it. I got a wonderful plaque. And also, Fabulous Moolah inducted me back in 99 in Vegas. And I have a plaque, and I have pictures, wonderful pictures that are, you know, on Facebook, too. And that was actually the last year they ever did it. So I made it right on time.
Wow, fantastic. You were inducted by the Fabulous Moolah in Las Vegas?
Yes, in 1999.
Wow,
I actually
fantastic.
Still have the, somewhere, I've moved so many times, and crazy ex-husbands have ripped up all my pictures. That's one thing about the business. You have to be careful who your partner is. If they hate it, they will tear your stuff up. If they love it, you know, they'll go with you maybe. But yeah, I got a lot of pictures written up.
Wow, okay. Well, Fifi, are you familiar with another female wrestler named the Teutonic Terror?
Yeah, that's me, Diane von Hoffman.
Oh, okay. Well,
I do remember some things.
Oh, okay. Well, I might
mean,
have been
come on, don't, is this a rib or what? I'd rather have
that
a T-bone.
That could have been a mini rib, yes. Okay. All right. Well, Fifi, in 1981, under the WWF organization, the tag team of Moondog Rex and Moondog King defeated Rick Martel and Tony Guerrero for the WWF Tag Team Championship. After winning the title, Moondog King was replaced by Moondog Spot after Moondog King, who was a Canadian, was denied
right.
entry into the United States. My uh-huh. question is, did Moondog King ever set foot in the U.S. again, and did he make any attempt to gain dual citizenship?
Honestly, Moondog Spot, a.k.a. Larry Latham that we were just referring to, is, I don't know if you were listening a few minutes ago when I said Larry Latham brought me in food. He later became Moondog Spot.
Oh, okay.
Do you know that? That's from New York.
Oh.
Okay, so he became that. So I was up there in 81, and he was under Larry Latham at that time. So as far as I never heard of King after that, but I'm not saying because, as I told your host there, I traveled mostly overseas because I'm no dummy. I wanted to get paid and tax-free. So I honestly, I'm not going to answer because I don't know. I'm not going to tell you something just for you to hear it. I don't know it. So how about I plead the fifth because I just don't
oh.
know.
Oh, all right. I will try to do some research into Moondog King's dual citizenship. Or if
yeah,
he ever
I mean, I'll be honest with you.
Again.
He was with the WWF and sent him back and Spot came in, unless there was a reason they were going to pay that money. I mean, honestly, you know how it is. Money talks, BS walks. I don't know why he would. Unless they promised him a contract and he had to get back in. See, as I'm saying, you know, who knows who was under contract back in the day. I don't know. See, Moolah had us all under her little realm of housing and, you know, we all lived in, we called it, you know, prison. 13 houses and all of us girls, you know, shared house with someone hopefully we liked. And if we had to fill the ones we didn't like, then we did mean ribs. But you know how that goes. That's anywhere.
Oh, okay.
So
all right.
At that time, and so, like I said, after I did my first road show with Moolah in 81 up there in New York and Charlotte. Like I said, we did all the house shows because I met Andre. And I remember we were in a bunch of gyms. Is all I can remember. But Boston Gardens now, and this is what I hate, is because Boston Gardens drew 80,000 people. And I cannot believe there's not one picture of all of us together. Jill Smith, Carol Fontaine, myself, and Moolah is my partner. I would love if anybody, if you all know anybody from up in that area that, which I'm sure, you know how it goes. I mean, that was years back, would have a picture or anything. You know, I have nothing from then. I have nothing. The first picture
wow.
I had was with Bob Brazil and me and Chris Colt and the Sheik, because Candy Devine and I worked up in Canada for 3 years straight, and we worked for the AWA, and all those pictures are gone because of Jello's husband.
All the pictures, boy, that's terrible.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had stuff that, you know, I mean, Bobo Brazil was, God love him, and this is you want to hear a shoot story, his girlfriend he had with him at the time, I mean, I'm just, I think I was about 20, 21 then, and I looked at Bobo like my dad, and I used to mock him. I'd get up in front of him and walk like he did with that limp. You know how he did, like, the back and forth, if you can remember how he walked. So I used to make fun of him, and I'd do his, not make fun of him, I shouldn't say that, imitating him. Because, you know, imitation is the biggest form of flattery. So anyway, I was standing in front of him, you know, doing that. And one night we had dressed up for something, so I was in a dress, and he said, "Diane." And I looked at him, I said, "What, Bobo?" He said, "I promise if you come and be with me, I'll get rid of my girlfriend." I said, "Bobo, what are you talking about?" I said, "I'm young enough to be your daughter." He's like, no, you got a lot of kidneys up there in that head of yours." And I'm like, my face probably turned 10 shades of red. And I said, "Bobo," I said, "stop, you know, I mean, he's what, 50-something, and I'm 20-something, which doesn't matter these days, but back then, as I said, it made a big difference for me." But his girlfriend, you know, she was a sweet girl. He said, "I'll take her home right now, and you can go on a road with me." And I said, "That's okay, Bobo, I'll make it home."
Wow, that was
and
a,
that is
a
shoot
story. Yeah.
No, that's not a story. That is real. And, I mean, God love him. I loved him to death. He was my dear friend. But, you know, just because none of them had seen me dress up. Because, you know, when I worked as Diane, you know, Candy always wore all the glitz and glamour. And I'm just the heel, the big German worker. And, you know, I never wore makeup or anything. But when I put my dress on, my makeup on, they were all like, "Who is she?"
Wow.
So,
fantastic.
Yeah, that was definitely a shoot. I had several others give me offers, but some I better leave names out to protect the innocent, and that's me.
Now, did Stu Hart ever want to take you on the road? Stu Hart?
No, that's so sad because, see, Moolah had him wrapped up.
Okay.
See, she had every territory wrapped up. We went with the Bear Man because he didn't want to, of course, pay her, you know. She got 25% of our money, which was ridiculous, I'm sorry to say. I mean, I know she got us some bookings, and I know she made sure we had our money, but she also put us in a lot of bad situations, too. And, you know, being in El Salvador during the war, I mean, she told us we're going to Columbia, South America, and I meet Joyce Grable in Atlanta Airport, and the ticket says El Salvador, and I said, and I'm, you know, like I said, in my 20s, my mom's a school teacher. She said, "You're going where?" She said, "Oh, my God, there's a war going on over there." She could never reach me, but you know what? I swear, Moolah had a hotline. She could get through when she needed her money. My mother wrote me a letter every day. Do you know I never got one letter? But do you know Moolah got through every time she needed to call? I said, I swear that woman had a pipeline. And she only called to see when her money was coming. She, because Joyce was fighting the Kingo and was like, "Hey, we need, you know, I want my passport back." And he wouldn't give our passports back, no nothing. Because, you know, we were scared. I mean, I don't know what we were going to do with our passports. I mean, they took us to another country, and, I mean, this one guy, luckily we had some people who spoke English, he kept looking at my passport and looking at me, and I'm like, I'd probably drop some weight because there was no water, no lights, no nothing. Oh, you wouldn't believe it. Had pigs in the house after we got done eating. And we're supposed to sit in there and, you know, shake our heads yes and eat. No pigs going between your legs. And, oh, my God, you have no idea.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't want to go to, you wouldn't want to have gone to El Salvador back 20 years ago.
They had
one with the Sandinistas.
No, no, no. Not 20 years ago. I'm talking about we were there during the war. From January or December 29th, 1981 until February. We were there 2 months until February of 82. And we came back home, and everybody goes, oh, you got such a good tan. I'm like, yeah, the only thing you could do is get on top of a roof and hide and lay out. And my friends knew, you know, where we could go to hotels when you're on the good side. But when you go to, if you all look at your maps, go to San Miguel, Honduras, they took us there. There was no water. I mean, we were sleeping in hammocks. I mean, it was. You know, and these kids, they bring these kids the matches with big stomachs. And, I mean, it was just, you have to see it to believe it. And that's the bad thing about all my stuff's gone because I had all those pictures from back in that era that people don't believe it. But if people that have been there would believe it.
Wow. Wow. That's South America back in the 80s. Holy
no, this
smokes.
Is Central. No, no, no. Not South America. I wish.
Oh, okay.
We're talking about Central America, El Salvador, Honduras,
oh, right.
San Miguel.
Yes.
Yeah. Close to Panama. I mean, that was the worst of the worst. And, like, I was well, he's my ex-husband now. He was one of the wrestlers. He was a big star over there then. His name was Ringo Mercenario. I was riding on the back of his motorcycle because, you know, the gas was $4 a gallon over there. And this police had this guy, you know, pushed up against a fence. And, you know how you look over just to see what's going on? He's like, don't look, don't look. And I'm like, what? He's like, don't come after us next. I'm like, oh, God. Thank you for scaring me even more than I already am. Yeah, so but the only blessed thing about going to El Salvador is I have two beautiful daughters now from that, and one wanted to become a wrestler, which I shouldn't have forbade her, but I did because I know how the business is. I know what she would have been put through. You know, I would have had her back, but you know how it is. She is a beautiful, you know, dark-skinned, green-eyed. You know, they would have just tried to take her and use and abuse her. And that wouldn't have happened with me around. So, but she's into jiu-jitsu now. So I said, you go.
Oh, wow, jiu-jitsu, okay.
Because she wanted to be the closest form of wrestling. But she's already, you know, her knees are hurting and stuff. And, I mean, it's all regardless. You know, had I not got sick, I mean, everybody's like, we don't want you to leave. Because they're like, you're so easy to work with. And I'm like, not always. Because, you know, some of the girls didn't know a wrist lock from a wristwatch. And I trained a couple of them, and they didn't even want to pay me or anything. So that's when people talk about doing things. That's when, you know, I've let the past go. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, okay. Wow. Hello, Fifi. Can you tell us about honorary member Moondog Spike and how long he was a Moondog member? Moondog Spike.
Gosh. He started, I'm trying to think what year. Once Larry, aka Spot, left New York, he came down to the USWA. So I'm thinking probably I'm just guessing, okay, the late 80s or the middle 80s, and then he passed away, gosh, just not even 5 years ago. And Chris Dupree, that used to wrestle with me in Georgetown, we were going to the funeral, but the weather was so bad. But he asked to be taken off life support. I mean, it was just that bad. And we all had our last match together for the USWA. Well, it was broken up at that time, but Jerry Lawler and they were running it. And he and I and Richard Lee and Spot all had our last match in 2007.
Oh,
so
okay.
I have some pictures, but I have a picture with, Spot, Spike, Cujo, with Cujo. See, and he passed in 2010. He just got married and was real happy, but he suffered with diabetes. And made his funeral with, was one of the hill. He used to be one of the hillbillies. I was Hillbilly
Jim. Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah, it was him. So I'm the only female Moon Dog left.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Now Richard Lee's still here. He lives in Indiana.
Louisiana?
No, Indiana.
Oh, okay, Indiana. Okay.
Evansville.
Right.
Evansville, Indiana. Yeah, where they for Jason, I saw where he was with Maria James.
Oh, all right.
And Jason on here.
Yeah, the amazing
Maria.
I
tried to get him to go over there, and he's like, but he's the same way. You know, we're all broke down. He's like, if they don't want to pay me, I'm not going to do anything. You know how it is. At a certain point in your life, you're like, it's not worth it to take a bump and get hurt even worse. Some of these guys just, and it's sad, the wrestler, the movie, killed it for a lot of the boys. But in all actuality, that's how some of them go.
Oh, yes.
No
yes.
family,
that was
no
a
nothing.
Good movie.
It was, but not everybody ends up that way. I mean, a lot of people have, have families that love them and, care for them. And, going to these reunions has been one of the best tributes. The family comes and they're inducted with a family there. So, and that's one thing I really, really do love about it.
Well, Fifi, my wrestling sources in Shelton, Washington, tell me that Moondog Puppy Love was one of your favorite Moondogs. My question is, did Moondog Puppy Love ever bite Jerry Lawler on the hamstring?
No, that was me.
Oh, okay. Yes, I
Moondog
saw you
Puppy
bite
Love,
Jerry
only,
Lawler.
Only word, that was me. And I bit him everywhere I could. He shaved my head. I got him anywhere I could get him. And now she wrestled in Evansville around that area, but she didn't ever work with him that I know of. Burt Prentice put a lot of girls after me into the Moondog category, which I thought was pretty, pretty bad, because once you tell somebody, and, I don't know if you all know that Moondog Spot died in the ring with Jerry Lawler.
Yes, I
he had a heart
did
attack
know
and
that
died.
You had a Moondog Spot die in the ring, yes.
Right, well, that's Larry Latham who we're referring to.
Okay.
So, and after that, we weren't having any more matches. I only did matches, like tribute or whatever, because the family asked that we not do it. And I understand that, but no, I don't, I don't know that. No, I was the one in the ring with Lawler. And if you go to YouTube, you'll see me bite him more than once. And I hit him with, what do you call it? Those shovels that are used for snow. No,
I think you hit someone
shovel.
With a stop sign. Oh, shovel. Yes.
Yeah, the stop sign, no, that's when they had went to have me stop him, and they reversed it, and I ended up falling off the ring, and that's when they pinned me to shave my head.
Wow.
And that was not supposed to happen, and if you watch it, you can see that I fought tooth and nail. I mean, I've got scars from Jeff Jarrett. I mean, they could not hold me down because my hair was past my... It was pretty long, let's put it that way, when I went in. And I went to the beauty shop like the next week, and this girl, I was living in Nashville, and she said, "Honey, did somebody cut your hair while you were asleep?" I said, I wish they had of. I wouldn't have felt it then.
Yeah, that was
because
a terrible haircut.
Well, I mean, what do you expect? I'm fighting two women, two men, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Yes.
All right. Well, Phoebe, can you tell us about Moondog Rover? And is it true that Moondog Rover teamed with Moondog Spot to capture the USWA World Tag Team Championships for one time out of a total of 14 total times a USWA Tag Team Championship was won by a Moondog Reign? Did they capture the tag team?
Okay, what year
won?
Was this? Because if it was prior to what we're talking about, I can't say something I don't know. I can Google like you and Google. I don't know. Like I said, I didn't get involved with the Moondogs until the early 90s.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. If I did, trust me, I would tell you everything. But I've heard of Moondog Reign, and see, the original Moondog Rex, which there was a lot of problems because Mike Flowers also, Moondog Rex is still alive. I should not say I am the only one left. Moondog Rex is alive, and there was another Moondog Rex that Moondog Spot trained, and he just passed away. So Rex is still alive, Randy Colley. And he's still alive.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right.
I should clarify myself there. Because I saw him at in Mobile, they would have reunions every year. And I saw him there about 3 years ago after I had my surgery.
Oh, okay, 3 years ago. Okay, all right.
Yeah, about 2000. Well, I had my surgery in August 2013, and I made the trip with Joyce Grable in 2014. So, yeah, somewhere around there.
Well, Fifi, during a match in 1993, while tag teaming for USWA Memphis Wrestling with referee Kevin Lawler and play-by-play announcing by Dave Brown and Corey Macklin, Moondog Spot and Moondog Splat were wrestling two jabronis that no one can remember when Scotty Flamingo and Brian Christopher interfered. Both Splat and Spot were hit in the face with green paint, and Brian Christopher hit Spot over the head so hard with a chair that part of it broke. To your knowledge, were Flamingo and Christopher fined for this Pearl Harbor-like attack?
No.
Oh, they weren't. That's terrible.
No. Why? I mean, we fought with chairs. I mean, give and take. They have said they fined them. I mean, you know, they may have said they fined them, but I even fought. The girl didn't show up. Robbie Rage, that I was supposed to wrestle, that she's also passed away last year, and she didn't show up, and I wrestled Kevin Lawler. He was the referee. I grabbed him. I hooked him. I threw him out of the ring. So, yeah, I didn't get time. So, you know what? I mean, they should have been if they hurt any one of my brothers. Let's put it that way. But only we are allowed to do it, not any of them. Because that's why they call him Pretty Boy, because somebody needs to make him ugly.
Wow.
And Brian Lawler is still in.
Oh, okay. Well, at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Simon Guy for some questions. Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, UT. Well, Moondog Fifi, we've come to the end of our program, so I want to give you some time here at the end. If there's anything you would like to say to our listeners today, go right ahead. If there's anything you want to plug or promote, like your social medias or anything whatsoever, floor is all yours.
Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. I thought like the rest of them, y'all died and went away. No, I have Twitter at Diane Von Hoffman. My Facebook page is also Diane Von Hoffman, and my fan page is under it's Moondog BV and Diane Von Hoffman. Honestly, the gentleman, like I said, named Corey Brown with Butter Brown Wrestling, he is actually trying to help me get pushed for conventions or any signings. Like I said, I met him out in Las Vegas, and he's a wonderful gentleman, and he wants to help me write a book of, I mean, what you all heard is maybe, like you said, less than an hour of what my life was. And there's many hours to the life I had as I think I had six names in the time I was wrestling. And you can ask the gentleman that you were just with, since he asked me all those questions, tell him to find out every name I ever wrestled under, since he's the discovery man.
That will be his homework assignment, I guarantee you.
Every name, because I have someone that actually plugged every name I've wrestled under. And I was like, wow, I wrestled under that. I couldn't remember. So, see, that's his homework. And if he can't do it, I get to slam him the next time I see him. So he needs to be somewhere near Louisville Gardens, near Louisville, Indiana, wherever he is. I get to stand and slam him with one arm. So dare he take that challenge.
QT, what about it? Jeff, for it?
Oh, yes, I am up for it. Yes. Yes. I will do this homework assignment. Yes.
Yeah, but how long will it be? Another year?
I'm also available for
like
booking,
the rest
sort
of them. Just like the rest of them. And it'll be another year before I get back to you. But I so appreciate you all inviting me on your show. And it's always nice to get to talk about my memories. And, you know, wrestling is a job. Let no one mistake anyone that when we take a bump, whether you learn how or someone's taught you the wrong way, that every time you take a bump, it's like being hit by a Mack truck. Those add up. I try to tell these younger girls, work smart, not hard. Don't be like the Japanese. They don't tell a story. Use your body wisely. We only have one body. And that's what happens to, if you've noticed even, and I hate to even mention the WWE, but if you notice all the ones that are getting hurt because of these crazy bumps for no reason. And that's what I have to give to anyone that's even listening that wrestles, is it's not about what you can get in. It's about telling a story. It's about good versus evil. You can work a headlock the whole match and have more heat than doing 15 bumps out into the public. You know, you just have to think. And I don't know what else to tell you all, but, I mean, I'm trying to protect, you know, the workers. Yep. And the point is I hate, one thing I will tell you I hate, is that there's too many indies that they need to have one belt. If all the guys would come together and have one great show, there's no telling what they could draw. Instead of everybody fighting each other, you know, anybody can buy a belt. You know, make it a shoot for a real belt. I'd love to see that, female or male. So that's really all I had to tell you, and I just hope everyone that's out there, if they are working, to be safe, because no money is worth your health.
Very, very well said. Well, Moondog Fifi, it was an absolute pleasure having you on our show. We thank you very much for taking time today to be with us. And hopefully we will get to talk to you later on, and we would love to have you back down the road.
Yeah, I'm here. You've got my number. And don't give it out or I'll hurt you too.
I won't. I promise. I don't want to take a slam in the Louisville Gardens from you.
No, I didn't say Louisville Gardens because I can't get a license because I'm hurt. Yeah. People that can wrestle can get a license in Kentucky. Wrestlers can't. But I'll meet you in Jeffersonville, Indiana, and Mickey Knuckles will do it for me.
Would not be the first time that's happened to me.
Well, guess what? But if she follows my lead, it'll be worse.
I can easily imagine that. Well, fans,
well,
get out there, support your independent wrestling this weekend. Thanks for joining us today. Get on the YouTube, look up Moondog Fifi. Great competitor.
And there's plenty of Fifis. I've got, if somebody wants to tell me how to put them on, I've got so many from back when we were on in USWA the whole hour. I've got like 10 to 20 hours of tape that I have no idea how to put on. If someone wants to help me, hit me up. Because I'd love for her to be out there instead of sitting in my room in a box.
And if you can help her, definitely look her up and get word to her, because I want to see some of that footage as well. There's definitely not enough on YouTube of Moondog
TV. Oh,
this
is all USWA. I've probably got, like I said, I've got at least 10 CDs. The full hour of USWA. So, and like I said, you can see the one where they had me with this Tennessee Rodeo, where they cut my hair. Moondog Fifi gets her hair cut by Jerry Lawler and Jeff Jarrett and two jabroni haircutters that couldn't cut hair either. So,
yeah, you just got to take it easy on bull riding women. Yes.
Oh, yeah, bull riding women, yeah. I like, yeah, Richard Lee did enough for me. So I got her, yeah, but she got her bell rung, didn't she?
Yes. And Richard Lee looks a little bit like Richard Petty, in my opinion, yes.
Well, I don't know about now. He did back then. He's still a heartbreaker, though. But
all right.
You guys, thanks for having me on, and please contact me back. I'd love to chat some more and talk about when we were really mistreated. There's more to come.
Absolutely. We look forward to the next time for sure. It's been a pleasure having you. Fans will be back with you.
Make sure to check out my buddy Corey, C-O-R-Y Brown, with Brown Butter Wrestling. He's the one that's helping me, and he's helping Ox Baker and his son. You know, I get all of his money due him. He's a really wonderful guy, and trying to have his son get his monies from the movies and stuff that he did. So please check him out too. He's a really standout guy.
Will do. We'll check him out for sure. All right, fans, we'll be back with you the next time.
We